Ramble.
I don't have a pre-ramble, ramble. Hello and welcome to
Hello.
I Hate Your Movie. This is a movie podcast where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment. Did I get that right?
You did.
After 65 episodes.
Well, we still have different ones.
We still haven't decided
between us what it is.
Well, that's on brand, isn't it? My name is Dan.
My name is Rick.
This week, we watched the much-loved movie called Partners, made in 2009. Written, directed, and edited by your dad.
My dad?
Anyone's dad, really.
Okay.
It is like if your dad picked up a camera and said, I'm going to make a movie now. That's exactly what happened. Peter James Iango is the director's name.
Okay.
I think so.
You think so?
It doesn't matter.
It kind of does.
Yeah, I've just read the IMDb trivia, which is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like a funny bad movie, much in the style of Samurai Cop and Faithful Findings. This is like the third kind of bad movie, which I haven't really shown you before. More modern, there's like digital techniques,
no.
If you want to call them that. So, Rick.
Hello.
What did you think of Faithful Findings?
It was shit.
What did you think of Partners?
Would you like us a one-sentence review?
Yes, please.
Okay, so it's something we either aspire to be or aspire not to be. This film was the best of the worst.
Yeah.
That is a low bar, I will say that. This is a film I will never, ever, ever, ever watch again. This is a film that, if it had a sequel, I just would burn it.
Partners to more partners. Okay, that's an interesting take, because I think it's the worst of the worst. Are you speaking of the three bad movies we watched?
Of the three bad movies we watched, this was the most watchable. It was acted, and I use this term very, very lightly, it was acted the best.
Cut in some sort of clip here where someone's acting really terribly.
But you have no idea what's going on. I don't buy it, Sunshine. You're working for Peshkin, huh?
Yeah, it's terrible,
yeah.
But it's still... It was done by people who had acted before, whereas Faithful Findings and Samurai Cop were very kind of like, I don't know, just wooden all the way through. This had like some genuine moments, you know, a two instead of a one acting skill.
I couldn't disagree with you more. Roll the clip of the bald guy talking in any scene ever.
Yeah, but all three of them were like that. But like,
it
didn't have Samurai Cop had the guy who was like winking to the camera all the time, messing up his lines. And the guy went under a fence, and they made a huge joke out of it. And it was clear that it was just them ad libbing,
yeah,
in not a funny way. And Faithful Finding was just start to finish like, there is nothing worse than that. Why did you kill yourself? No, why did you do that? There was no moments like that in it, you know. There was no moments like that where you kind of not only was terrible, but it broke the film.
Mm-hmm. The film did break you, though, and we have that in audio. We have that forever memorized in audio. Because...
I made it really far through this film.
Yeah,
the way I felt about 3 hours into this film, it felt like it's near the end. It's like the final third. The way I felt is how I felt 10 minutes into Faithful Findings. It's how I felt 20 minutes into Samurai Cop.
Okay.
And most of my, like, exasperation at that point was because I thought I was going to make it to the end without cracking.
We did a little experiment this time and we recorded us watching it. My hope was that we say, like, some really funny things. But I think the thing I really captured was your misery. throughout. So here's some clips of Rick being miserable.
How long is this film?
99 minutes.
No, that's not too bad.
And 98 minutes is the credits. I'm so confused at what they're trying to do.
I have no idea what's going on. Jesus fucking hell.
What are you? Yum, yum, yum. Yummy in my tummy.
That's fine. That's fine. Next competition that I win, I'm going to make you watch another Adam Sandler film and we're going to record that.
Okay.
We're going to watch Click.
Yeah. I do disagree with you, though. I think this is the worst of the worst.
Yeah. I think you think that because it was slightly well made. You know, you didn't have the wig falling off, because that's what you love about Samurai Cop. You love the absolute, like, the point where the actors didn't give a shit anymore. And that's what you like about Fateful Finding, is it's so badly made that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I think if this was on a scale of, like, well-made, badly made, this is just above them. So that's why you don't like it as much, because there's less in it to go, look, he did a stupid.
That's part of it. But I think there's some sort of perspectivism in it, too. I think it's very comparable to Samurai Cop in terms of quality.
Okay.
But Samurai Cop was made in 91. They had to work with real film. You know, they had an excuse for a shot not to be in focus because they probably didn't have a focus puller. A guy who fucking physically measures and have to put in an equation how to do focus, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they had digital cameras and digital editing, so it's inexcusable, the shit that happens in this movie, you know? That's why I think it's worse.
Okay.
There's one whole trivia, which is, you're going to be very surprised to hear that the director of photography quit on day 3.
Really?
And never came back because they were doing the shootout scenes in dodgy streets without permits, without closing the street or anything, and using real blanks, and the police showed up and he just ran away and he never came back.
Yeah, so just to give you people listening a slight kind of heads up, both me and Dan forgot to write any notes for this film. I think we genuinely believe, because we were recording it, we were just kind of like, yeah, okay, that's how it did, and it would remind us. And now we have no idea what happened in this film.
I think I was distracted by the magic of this film. It starts out looking like, not like a real good film, but like a NCIS show.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they probably had the director of photography. It's when they go to that crime scene and everyone's in focus, got like a nice orange glow to the movie, you know, then it all goes to shit. So someone got murdered.
Yep.
And they blame Peshkin. Who's Peshkin?
Oh, Peshkin is the big bad of the film.
Is he though?
Yes.
Is there not an even bigger bad? The last 5 seconds in the movie?
Well, the sequel bait bad guy.
No, it's not a sequel bait because they arrest him at the end of this movie.
Do they?
Yeah.
This film, I genuinely have like Palm Springs energy.
Oh.
Because I don't remember any of it.
Okay. That's going to be interesting. Peshkin.
Peshkin. I liked Peshkin, man. Peshkin was the best bit about this film.
He knew what kind of movie he was in.
Yeah.
And he was like, fuck it, I'm just going to do some weird shit.
I'm going to go fucking all in.
Yeah, I'm going to see what I can get away with. See if he leaves this in the movie, it's going to be hilarious.
That was the weird thing about it, actually, that I do vaguely remember, is it starts off with partners.
Yeah.
And it introduced, like Peshkin's done this thing, and he's taken over the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they go and see the captain or something.
Of my favorite character.
Yeah, why?
It's kind of later, in the later half of the film, where he becomes like a horror
yes,
character.
He keeps appearing out of nowhere.
He keeps appearing out of nowhere, and he's in the back seat of a stakeout, and he's in your bedroom, and he's always there, and he tells them off for doing something, and he was there. He's hilarious. I love him.
Sisters in the back.
It's always, they go home, they go to sleep, they kiss their wife, and he's still there on the bed
behind the headboard.
Yeah.
Listen, guys. Yeah. Yeah, I can remember that. I forgot about that. He just kept showing up.
Yeah.
In every scene.
It's like a jump scare. Wing! Chief Captain.
They go see the captain. The captain's like, you gotta put a lid on this guy, it's your job. Don't know why it's your job, but it's your job to do it. And then the film spends like 20 minutes without the partners. It goes all into the crime world and introduces you to Peshkin and all these crime bosses and in a kitchen. Kooky drug lord.
Guy who's very intimidating. He plays a drug lord, but for some reason the actor couldn't get his shift off that night for the pizza place they were working at. So they had to shoot at the pizza place, and he's very intimidatingly baking cookies.
Yeah, but that's fine. He's a Italian mobster, you know. He loves cooking food.
Yeah, but it's not very threatening when it's cookies.
It was.
We kept joking in the thing about what he's gonna do, like angel slices and fairy cakes, and meanwhile I was like, "Don't you draw a gun on me?" Oh, by the way, my cakes are done. And that's when, in real life, my actual dishwasher finished its job, and it went beep beep beep, and you were like, "Is that in the movie? the cookies done?" Because that's how bad this movie is. They would let that in.
Is that in the thing, or is that in real life?
What?
That beeping sound.
Yeah. Oh, that was... that was me for a change.
Was it?
Yeah, but the fact that you thought it was...
I thought his cookies were done.
I'd say for, like, the first half of the film, the partners aren't even in it.
Yeah.
And I don't
false
know
what, advertising.
I don't know what that's what that's for.
To establish the crime thing. Which is...
The crime thing.
Crime environment.
Okay.
Even though it's really bad and really confusing. Because, like, Pashkin goes to them, is like, "You don't understand, I control everything." He says, "From New York to Los Angeles, I've got drug stores somehow."
Yeah.
He's so cocky that he can actually open a store, a legal store, selling drugs. He got
there are stores that sell drugs.
Well, yeah, but...
Someone once told me there's a shop in town that if you go to, like, the cigarette counter and you say the right thing... They've just got fucking everything under the counter and you can buy whatever you want.
I was told that the ice cream van is a good cover.
Yeah?
Because, like, they're always on. It, like, it could be, like, mid-December and you hear... At least in our neighborhood.
I've never heard it outside of the summer.
I hear it and it's raining and it makes no sense. And you hear a little ice cream van and it stops at places. I'm like, that's a good one. That's a good one. A side business.
I think you'd be pretty, like, conspicuous if you were, like, yeah, you had an ice cream van. It's like, little kid, crackhead.
Crackheads need their soft serve too.
Crackheads need their flake 99s.
Yeah.
And their bubblegum ice creams.
Yeah. So Pashkin says he's the big deal.
He's a big deal.
He's bigger than all of them.
He owns all the ice cream vans.
Yeah. And yet he's the one who physically handles all the drugs and money. Somehow.
He does it all himself.
Yeah.
That's how he makes such a profit. You don't make profit by hiring people.
I guess
paying people to be, you know, your drug mules.
It's really hard work, I think, really. It's like, oh my God, he's really, you know.
Driving the business forward, you know. He's the kind of boss that, you know, you see working hard and it makes you want to work hard.
And we see the partners, they go into a nightclub, a jazz nightclub.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... You know, just imagine a jazz nightclub, you know, smoke-filled, moody, low lighting. And this one, it's a corner of a pub with no stage. The most impressive thing was the lady's costume. It looked like a real... That looked like it could be in one of those
movies. Most impressive bit about the scene is the woman singing.
Yeah.
Genuinely the best bit of the film.
They were probably like, oh, you can do that. Let's do that then. And let's play the whole song from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Without no story bits, no visual things, just showing you, basically making your own music video. It's 2009, basically modern. Modern setting, this like 1930s jazz club that also has a porch, like an American porch.
Like a house porch.
Yeah.
It's on a suburban street.
That's when one of my big laugh out loud moments happen, where there's a shootout. They're like, bang, 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 bang. Anyway, what do you know about this Pashkin? It's like, what the fuck? Did you see those guys? You're not gonna talk about that? You're not gonna be shaken? You're not gonna be reacting
to it? They use that. I'm pretty sure they use it. They're like, because they go to the porch, you know, they sit on their little rocking chairs. One of them gets out a banjo.
Yeah.
And they talk about it, and she doesn't want to tell him. And then there's a drive-by, and then they're like, you gotta tell us, this guy's trying to kill you. And she's like, okay, well, now there's people trying to kill me.
Yeah, except he goes like, you gotta tell us now, those guys are trying to kill you.
Nah, it's not that bad. At no point is the film that bad.
Bald cop, who's basically the main character and gets all the dialogue.
Yep.
He was approaching that bad to me. He was so bad. He was like, you pick a guy on the street, you're a main character in this movie now.
Nah, I don't think he is, because I reckon he properly gave it his all. I mean, the problem with him is like his Ed Hardy t-shirts, his terrible tattoos. Genuinely, man, like, I just could not see anyone but Andrew Tate. And yep. You can't root for him. You can't root for the second. At this point, you're like, Peshkin, it's quite. Hope he wins.
I think the main takeaway is that he didn't look like he would be a cop.
No.
They wouldn't hire him as a detective. He doesn't know big words like audience.
Audience, ooh, big word. Why? Yeah.
And he says bigger words than that.
He says bigger words than that the whole way through.
Yeah.
He gave it his all, but he was the most miscast.
I think the problem is they gave him most of the dialogue. If I did this movie and I had the same circumstances, I would give the other guy the dialogue. He was more convincing to me.
I like that guy. He reminded me of Dean Cain.
From the famous movie, Andy the Talking Hedgehog. Look at the poster of that. That's my favourite poster ever. What happens next? There's a shootout.
Well, you've got all the crime families die. Do they die or do they have a meeting?
Yeah, they have a meeting.
They have a meeting in a small cafe.
Just before opening time because there's no one else there.
Big old drug meeting and yeah. They're sitting in.
And it's very obvious they had one microphone that was attached to the camera.
Because people further away couldn't be heard.
Yeah. And also you noticed this, that the audio was out of sync the whole time.
Oh God, that was so annoying.
And that takes a special skill to have basically camera audio that's also out of sync. You have to fuck up something there. You have to detach in your file, in your MP4 file, you have to detach the audio and then move it manually to make that happen. By the way, this guy used to teach film.
Yeah.
In a film school. And that's just one of those enduring mysteries of the universe, of what happened there. This movie has pretty much every mistake I can think of in technical filmmaking. And now he makes like real TV shows. Like things that you never heard of and they look boring as shit. But then he makes real TV shows for like Amazon and shit. And I wonder like, maybe he's one of those guys who actually learned from his mistakes. Maybe he's the one.
I think you learn you gotta start somewhere. If he is a teacher, then he can at least assess his own work and be like, okay, if a student made this, what would I say about it? Okay, this is shit, 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 this is shit.
That's for 99 minutes. And there's another very confusing shootout. They're supposed to be drug lords. They wouldn't live in a fucking trash house in the suburbs, you know? It's one time Peshkin uses an underling and he kills them.
Yes, he does.
And that's the end of that story.
They're done now. Now he's the leader of crime.
It's the best at what he does. Crime stuff. Don't question the details.
And you know how that he's good at crime. Do you know how he's good at crime?
Because
he has like a 10-minute drug party.
Oh, yeah.
With guns.
And outtakes.
And a woman. And he pulls funny faces.
He pulls funny faces that I can't imagine he thought it would be kept in. He was just goofing off.
I don't know, maybe they actually gave him drugs.
Yeah.
And he just gets away and go nuts. Because, oh my God, it's awful. That whole scene's so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny because they start with this huge pile of cocaine flour.
Yeah.
To the credit of the film, it does like go down and down and down until they run out of cocaine. Mm.
But like, that would kill them.
Yes, they would immediately have a heart attack and die.
You can almost imagine what the original screenwriter like imagined. This mansion, this like beautiful table,
yeah,
with like cocaine. There's like
the extras in the background. Yeah. They all look good looking. Mm-hmm. They got sunglasses and there's like,
yeah, they got like bikinis on.
Yeah,
you can see a pool outside with like the giant windows.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a money counter next to the cocaine. Going. Yep. But it's none of that. It's just it's grandma's dining table.
In grandma's house.
In grandma's house. There's a lot of, there's grandpa's house as well. We'll get to that. Yeah, it's someone's grandma's house with the dining table.
Yeah.
And they just put a bunch of flour on it.
Yep.
And
the guns.
They don't, one gun.
He's got two guns. He's got a machine gun and he's got a pistol.
Okay.
And he just continually loads them.
Yeah, and there's
he
like
loads them, and then I guess he unloads them, and then you see him load them again.
Yeah, because he doesn't have that much props to work with in this what feels like a 20-minute montage scene. I was speaking of like, we're going jumping a bit back and forth, but talk to me about your favorite scene, which is the opening with the credits. There's so much to talk about in the credits, yet nothing happens.
directed by Philip Ango, sound by Philip Ango, produced by Ango,
best edited, boy,
edited by Ango, T-boy Ango, fluffer Ango.
Yeah, and it's all like Windows Movie Maker plugin. I think actual Windows Movie Maker plugin titles that somehow he fucked up. And
oh yeah, they weren't even like centered.
They weren't centered. How do you do that? That's like magic. That's so hard to fuck up. This cut together with exciting driving.
Oh god, yeah, what was the driving?
They're just driving. And then when it got boring, they did a fist bump.
Oh yeah, it was the car bonnet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was the car bonnet. Oh my god. Oh god, it was just cut. I don't even know where the camera was placed, like above the windshield, pointing down.
Yeah.
And all you could see was the car bonnet and like a sliver of road.
Yeah, I think it meant to be more of the road, but they fucked that up.
Oh god.
And they show that like five times. I'm pretty sure it's the same footage over and over again. Just to really stretch out the Peter James Iango credits. Because it's really important that we know that he did everything. But my favorite thing is that, yeah, they're these two partners, they're like driving for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden fist bump.
What do you reckon they saw to make them fist bump?
Some hot chick on the road.
Something disgusting.
They did a roadkill. They hit a deer and went, yeah.
The Andrew Tate guy is such a, like a pig. Before he like saw a woman breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. It's like, fist bump. Like a prick.
Yeah. It's weird that even his character is like that as well.
Yeah, because he's not very good to his wife either.
No. Let's talk about that.
What's that?
Let's talk about the very interesting relationships between wife, whatever her name is, and guy. Andrew Tate, let's call him Andrew Tate. I think he looks more manly than Andrew Tate, but...
Yeah, Andrew Tate looks like a Stretch Armstrong doll that someone's pulled from the head upwards.
Yeah.
Man has no chin.
He's no chin, yeah. This guy has chin. Chin for days. He's three or four sometimes.
Yeah, so what did you want to say about man and wife?
So what are the important scenes? Exploring their relationships.
I had a question, actually.
Yeah.
Right, so... At the very start of it, so they say they've been working this case for 24 hours.
Yeah.
They've been working this case for 24 hours straight. Go home to your wife and, you know, be generally shitty to her. Just do that now. And then he goes home and she's asleep on the couch. And he's like, oh, what were you doing on the couch? He's like, I was waiting for you. For 24 hours? Do you not have, like, other things to do?
Then she gets upset that he's working too much. But just give up then. Like, in terms of, like, waiting for him.
Yeah.
It feels like you're just waiting to start an argument. That's what it feels like to me. I'm not siding with the Andrew Tate, but I'm just saying, she's a bit weird as well. I don't think people act like that. It felt like they skipped a few steps.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is, like, extreme nitpicking for a movie that doesn't give a shit about
this. Yeah, so many more things wrong with this film that you kind of...
Yeah. You work too much.
I got to, baby. Peshkin's on the loose. Crime is happening.
And then they have another argument outside their luxurious New York flat. The neighbors are being really nosy.
Oh, yeah.
What are you filming over there?
Yeah, you can see him in the back of the shot, just looking like directly at the camera.
Yeah. I wonder if at any point anyone looked down the viewfinder of this camera. It's just like, can you not see the neighbors in the background looking
at you? Like I said at the time, I don't think there's much you can do about it. You can go up to them and be like,
yeah,
excuse me, can you leave?
We're filming.
But what if they don't?
Then you, what do you do? You pick up your camera.
But they're in the center of the shot, looking down. The house is on the left, the road is on the right, and you can see both of those things. And if you move your camera, you're even looking directly at the house, which doesn't work. Why because not? You need them on the road because there's a drive-by about to happen. And if you point it at the road, they're like, where the fuck are they? So it has to be there.
You could have one facing the house, one facing the road.
Well, they ain't got two cameras, man.
That's true. That's too complicated.
They ain't got two cameras and they ain't got time to shoot two scenes. Come on.
That's true. And also, the geographic locations of where things are supposed to happen never bothered them before. You know? So I don't know why now.
Jazz club leads to a porch on like a suburban road.
Film in a warehouse, and then all of a sudden there's an outside shootout, whatever. It fits into this film. Do you think anyone ever looked down the camera and seen the shot that they were shooting?
No. No. Or... It was like one of those things where you have like a little camera with a little flappy bit on the side.
Yeah.
And you look at what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything on that tiny little screen looks in focus.
Yeah, but forget focus. I mean, that's half of it for sure. And this movie gets like out of focus as we go along. And we were joking that, especially with the guy with the hair on, he seems like really out of focus.
The hair on?
Yeah, he's got hair. The partner too.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What are we going to call
him? Dean Cain.
Dean Cain. especially with scenes with Dean Cain. Like, his scenes get blurrier as the movie goes on. We were joking in the recording that he's just going to be lost to the blur. Help, I'm disappearing into the blur.
What am I looking at?
Yeah. You still need to use lights when you're filming in the dark. Even if you want a dark scene. But yeah, the framing of things.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever... do you remember when we watched the movie Old with M. Night Shyamalan?
Vaguely.
Oh, that had like shots like that, but on purpose. It's like someone's half a chin, someone's forehead a little bit in.
Oh, you know? Yes, it did. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was so funny. One of my favorite scenes, and that showcases both the blur and the physical geography. And it's like it has all the mistakes and the framing, which is the, was it Department of Buildings? Do you remember Department of Buildings?
No.
They're supposed to be, I think, at the police station. And they're in front of like a pin board.
Yep.
And it says Department of Buildings.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The SWAT room.
The SWAT
room. When they're building up for the SWAT attack.
Which I thought at first, because it just cuts to that. Well, one of them standing in front of that. Oh, there's so much to talk about that in that scene. He cuts to one of them in front of that pin board. And he's talking. And then they cut in this very like... this crowd noise, which to me sounded like a press conference chatter.
Yeah.
I'm so confused on that scene. So, because they want to shoot both of the guys in front of the pin board.
Yep.
They have them shot separately, but they stand in the same place. How do I even explain this? Can you help me, please?
Okay, so the idea is they're both doing this briefing, and for some reason they're not filmed together.
Yeah.
They're filmed separately.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's a poster on the wall that's like Department of Buildings.
Yeah, that's the fire escape route and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's the blueprint of the house they're raiding, and it's supposed to be like, we're going in here and they're going in here. But the problem is, the way it's edited, the poster is both to their left.
Mm-hmm.
So they're clearly standing in exactly the same spot. So they filmed it, and then they've just taken one guy out and put in the other guy, and haven't moved the camera at all. And
or the guy.
No, they haven't moved the camera, or they haven't changed the direction.
They could have done anything to make it better.
Yeah, and they're very clearly standing in exactly the same spot.
Yeah. Oh, that scene just woke me, I think. Every mistake in the book that's possible happened in that little scene. Awfully framed, even. Like,
yeah. So much blurry. Of this film is focused as if the camera is about 6 centimeters away from people's face. It's genuinely, all you can see is like a close-up of their face, and it's like from just above their eyebrows to just below their mouth.
Yeah.
And that's the frame.
To be fair, I think they really wanted to cover up Grandma's house that they were filming in.
Okay, you think they just... zoomed in so much you couldn't see the background.
Mm-hmm. Because those scenes where like they filmed there and they have to use a zoom out shot is like, this is not the location they wanted. the bar, for example, the jazz bar, but also Grandpa's office. Do you know about the war? Remember the war and the big bear skin? It's Peshkin's office, quote unquote. He's sitting at a desk and he has like war memorabilia behind him, and there's like an old newspaper says war exclamation point, and there is like a giant bear skin on the wall. It's like, that's not what he would have. Is he like a history fan part-time? And then the other one was Sunshine's house. Dean Cain goes to Sunshine's house and there's some stranger's wedding photos on the wall. Grandma, can I use your flat for my movie? Yeah, but don't make so much mess.
Can't take anything off the walls. Your granddad's gonna be upset with you.
Yeah.
You know how he loves the war.
Yeah. There's like 3 different busts of Peshkin.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right next to each other. I don't even know what...
We forgot about the undercover lady as well.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, let's talk about her first.
Okay.
So there is Peshkin's woman, Eye Candy.
Yep, Peshkin's Eye Candy, who just spent like 20 minutes doing coke with him on grandma's table.
All of a sudden, it turns out she's a double agent.
She is. She worked for the FBI.
Yeah, and then she does this tear-jerking monologue about she used to be an addict.
Yeah, that's it. Because there's now two FBI agents, and one of them's actually her... Husband or boyfriend. And he found her in a drug den, in addiction, and he got her out of it. But then he immediately sent her back undercover to do a bunch of drugs with a drug lord.
Yes, it's the perfect cover. This goes back to our tropes, when like, we need the bad guy, because only the bad guy will understand the other bad guy. This is like, only the drug addict will understand the drugs. I think we were joking this, like, we want to watch the movie between this couple, which is like, it's like the most weird fucked up relationship ever.
It's just her in and out of rehab.
Yeah. He groomed her to be an FBI agent to send back to drugs.
I don't know how he feels about that, really. She's got to write a report later from earlier in the film when Peshkin had his fingers inside her against the wall. Remember that? Remember sent me into that admission? Husband?
Yeah.
Cuckold?
Yeah, I want to see a movie about those two. The most fucked up relationship of all time.
So there's a separate drug deal that the partners let someone go so that she can go back undercover, even though she's not part of that drug deal, and at no point was she part of any of the drug enterprise.
Yeah, she's just sitting there.
Yeah.
So the three different instances of arresting Peshkin, which up until that point, a movie kind of made sense to me, like in story-wise. I mean, shit and cliche and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of made sense. But then it happens like three times they arrest this guy. I don't even know what order it is in.
Didn't they kill him first?
No, I think that's the last one, actually.
No.
Or the second one.
Because he comes back from the dead.
I think that's the later one.
So no, I thought they kill him, or he dies, then he comes back from the dead, and then they arrest him.
The first arrest was him doing his own mule work.
Yes.
With the sports bag, and delivering his own drugs to his own biggest drug empire in the United States. And they just get him on the street, and then they take him to the police interrogation room with a lamp desk in his face and interrogate him. And they go like, we got nothing on him.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, we got nothing on him. We have to let him go. You just caught him with a massive bag of drugs.
Maybe because you remember in that scene, he does awkwardly throw that away. Maybe they didn't see it for some reason. I don't know.
That's when you start to see the captain. That's when the captain starts like leaning into the frame and like, hello.
I'm here too. I think we were saying Inspector Gadget Detective is just going to pop up from like a bin and he's going to be in the newsstand. He's going to be undercover as a newsstand agent. And then I think the second one is that he dies.
Yeah, I can't remember how he dies.
That's the when they raid him.
Right.
And he does an awkward monologue.
Oh, yeah. And then he kidnaps Sunshine and Dean Cain shoots him.
Yes. He makes an awkward monologue about to shoot Sunshine.
Yeah.
And then Dean Cain shoots him somewhere on his body. I think left vague on purpose, so we believe in this stupid story that he hired his own ambulance to get him out of there. Okay.
And announce him as dead. Then the FBI agent goes back undercover and he's alive. Mm-hmm. Shock horror.
And Johnny Chaos took over the business.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite character, Johnny Chaos.
Yes, Johnny Chaos is there now. Do you ever actually see Johnny Chaos?
Yes, he is. Remember in, I think, right? in the montage where they're doing the flower, when they're cutting the flower on grandma's table.
Right.
He's there. He's a guy who's kind of hangs around and he kind of follows Peshkin around.
Right.
But they never see his name until he takes over the business. They mention him as suddenly as we did right now. It's just, Johnny Chaos. Who the fuck is Johnny Chaos? And we kept like being confused about that because they never really named that guy.
Right. What a name. Johnny Chaos.
Yeah.
He sounds like a Marvel villain.
Timothy Crime. Donald Drugs. Yeah, so Johnny Chaos takes over the business.
It sounds so made. It sounds like you're making that up, but you're not.
And then they arrest him the third time. They go to confront the undercover lady. They go to talk to her, and he's just there. Then straight after the scene, he explains that he's back.
Yep.
And they arrest him again, so what's the point of killing him to begin with? So these three scenes happen next to each other. You couldn't have picked one. Pick the Raid one, because it has impressive production value with the cop cars.
Let's talk quickly about the use of guns in this film.
Oh my god.
So apparently they used real guns with blanks in them the whole film. And there is one scene where a guy like shoots someone execution style 2 or 3 feet away from his face and shoots a fucking gun.
Yeah. And you can see it's actual real blank, because when that scene happens, there's like a curtain behind them and like the expulsion of the air. It's like you can see on the curtain, like it moves the curtain.
That is so dangerous. There are like things in blanks, and you really can get seriously injured if not killed.
We have two kinds of stories now, at least. Maybe there's more that I don't know about. But there's The Crow with Brandon Lee, and then there's the new The Rust movie.
So The Rust actually had bullets. That was the thing with Rust.
But The Crow is the same. Is accidentally they put the... I don't know the exact story, but they had he had a real bullet.
I heard with The Crow, it wasn't a real bullet. He was running down like a hallway. There's a gunfight, but to simulate bullets coming off the wall, they had little explosion bits in the wall.
Oh.
And that's what hit him in the stomach and killed him.
Either way, in this shitty production, would you let yourself be shot at even...
Fuck no.
Even with a blank.
Years.
Do you think they had like a weapons master, whatever it's called, you know?
Can't imagine it. Terrifies me to even think about it. It genuinely does.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, the execution style one where he's like pointing right at his face. Mm-hmm.
They didn't look down their fucking camera. They're not going to check the fucking guns.
No.
He's lucky no one got hurt.
Yeah, he's real lucky no one got hurt.
Not permit. Didn't tell the neighbors. In dodgy neighborhoods. Shit could have gone really bad.
Yeah.
They started like an actual drug war. Well,
partners.
How would you rate this amazing movie?
2.
I would rate it a 4.
4.
Yeah, wow. I liked it. It was really bad. To the audience, if you like bad movies, I feel like this is more of an enhanced bad movie experience. You kind of need to know filmmaking to really enjoy this film.
I think it's pretty obvious to see.
So what's next?
Okay, so I'm going to end our current little feud of terrible films.
Why are you calling Top Gun Maverick a terrible film?
No.
Oh, almost got you.
So I'm going to go to a classic, you know?
Ooh.
I'm going to go to a classic, and we are going to watch the original Italian Job.
Okay. Is that with Michael Caine?
It is with Michael Caine.
I can bring out my world famous Michael Caine impression.
Actually, what we're going to watch. Come to <Ben Graham. laughs>
Everyone loves my Michael Caine impression, even though it's the worst rated video we ever done.
Is it actually?
Yeah. That's the only video that has more dislikes than likes.
Really?
On our page, yeah.
Wow.
People did not get the joke that it was supposed to be bad. And that's so funny. Oh, well.
Yeah, Italian Job. Classic film.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what you think of it.
Me too. I don't usually... I'm not into crime films.
Me neither. I do like a good heist film. I feel like it's not as a separate genre to a crime film.
I like Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Cool.
Partners. Are we partners? They do like the... They do at not the anymore. End. They drop the title. Are we partners? Partners. This job might be shit. The pay is shit. The crime is bad. But at least I got you. Partners. Partners. It's almost like I memorized the lines. It's pretty much that. It's pretty much the exact style of writing.
That's pretty much it.
Anyway. Bye.
Peace.
Fucking hell.
What are you?